earth creationists. Young earth creationists teach that chapter 1 is about a 24-hour period, that the lists that come after Genesis chapter 4 are complete and entire lists, giving you a date range of about 6,000 to 8,000 years old. So that is why I say young earth. 6,000 to 8,000 may sound old to you, but when we're talking billions of years, it's really young. We call it the young earth theory. It takes the most literal understanding of Genesis. And we said that some of the problems with it really come in using the lists in Genesis as complete entire lists that are meant to give you a length of time. That's not their purpose in the Bible, so that does create a problem. Old earth teaches that God created the earth in an old state. We looked at the fact that Adam was made a fully grown man, that Jesus brought out bread, not grain, and he didn't grow and make bread, he just made adult bread. And so that seemed to be a viable course of action. It did create some problems when we say, well, why did God create symbols of death before death entered the world? In other words, the dinosaurs and the rocks are there, but nothing had died yet, and we know that death is not a good thing, and God does not enjoy those things. Why would he create symbols of what is to come in paradise and say it's very good? Then we saw that there was a gap theory, the belief that in between verse 1 and verse 2 there's a gap, between day 1 and day 2 there's a gap, and there is no 24-hour time period. Make sure I cover all of these in review. After gap theory, we talked about theistic evolution. And theistic evolution taught us that God used evolution to guide it and that he picked certain evolution things. And that's why when we see mutations today, they don't work as well as when God guides evolutionary process. Theistic, that's God. Evolution, the process by which things came in to be. And finally, we looked at the mythology theory that treated Genesis as if it were a myth. Just something to help us explain the universe until we became scientifically wise enough to really understand it. And so our conclusion was that we really can hold on to young earth or older. I think those are possibly the best for conservative-minded people. That gap theory and theistic evolution are possible, but mythological view is not. That is a non-Christian view of the Bible. And so within those four, I can actually have a debate and talk with and enjoy Christians who fall into any of those four views. I personally fall into the young earth view. If you hop on the internet really quick and you look at Google and you look up Ken Ham, that is where you will find all the young earth material. My problem with the young earth theorists is I don't think they do great scholarship. Some of their scholarship is honestly not the best biblical scholarship you can get. And I think the view is correct. I'd like to see some better biblical scholarship on it, really taking on the grammar, not just the words of Genesis 1, and saying, look, older theory and gap theory and theistic evolution cannot hold if the grammar is right. And that brought us to the Yom debate, the idea of the day. Day. Yom means day. Did we talk about Yom? Is anybody... That's a good place for us to start then. Open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to talk about Yom. The reason why I want to talk about this is the number one thing that everybody goes to. What does Yom mean? Well, there are really four meanings to Yom, and we'll see kind of in here that really the definition isn't set for us as clearly as some people think. Yom is either one. The most basic standard unit of time, that means a day, a 24-hour time. It is the standard unit. We tend to judge things by seconds. Hebrews judge things by yoms, usually a 24-hour period of time. It's a complete cycle. It also can just mean right now. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then it goes on and says, this was the first day. It could be, this was... right at this moment, this was the first thing that God did at this moment. It could just be a moment of time. A complete cycle. In other words, there was evening, there was morning, the first day. That's a cycle. It's just a repeat of what you saw a complete cycle. And then a period of time in which God acts, particularly the end of day. You know, you hear about the day of the Lord. That is Yom. It's referring to a particular time when God acts. He talks about the revelation and the apocalypse and that war, and it says, this is the day of the Lord. That is a Yom. That is the day in which the Lord specifically acts. And so the fact that this word is a little bit nebulous, a little bit open to interpretation, is where these different views have come into our modern time. So let's take a look. Verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Does day mean 24-hour period of time? Does it mean a period of time? Does it mean at the present? Does it mean that there was just a complete cycle here? It doesn't seem to define that. And so when a young earth theorist like myself come and say, well, he means 24-hour period of time, an old earth or a gap theorist will come and say, well, let's do a word study on Yom, and we'll find that it doesn't always mean 24-hour period of time. To which I say, you're correct. We need to do a little more investigation than a word study. The problem with a word study is that it doesn't often take into consideration the context of the passage, the grammar in which that passage is coming out of, and really the point of the entire passage. So whenever you get someone up in the pulpit and they tell you, well, this Greek word could mean this or this, and it also means this, and you go, I'm not going to remember that Greek word, and you go, that was nice information, I'm glad you studied, Pastor, but it went over and beyond anything I could ever possibly care about. I don't care about infinitives. I don't care if it was a pluperfect. That means nothing. Okay, a word study, in my opinion, is the lowest form of doing any work in the text. We have to do word studies. I mean, you've got to get out your dictionary, and if you don't understand the word in English, you shouldn't just skip it. You should get out a dictionary, figure out what that word means. But the problem is, words mean different things all of the time. And in fact, in English, you can get really confusing if you don't understand the context in which English language comes out of. I'm trying to think off the top of my head of a good example on something that's just not coming to me. We're going to have that be due to fatigue today. But if I say, well, I have a pear, you can tell by spelling whether I have a piece of fruit or two things. However, when you just hear me, that would be very hard to understand. The same thing comes up in languages all the time. Words can mean different things and be spelled the exact same way. In Latin today on my exam, there was a word amito, and amito and amito have a little dash over the top, and that changes the entire meaning of the word from to send to send away. But when you're reading it out loud, they sound the exact same, so I might not have gotten that question right. We'll have to see what the grader thinks. But again, that happens, and a word study doesn't necessarily reveal that to you. I believe that we're talking about a 24-hour period of time, and I'd like to prove that to you from the text, using the text grammar. Now, look at what we have. The old earth theorists will say, okay, here we are, there was evening and there was morning, the first day. We cannot be talking about a 24-hour period of time because the earth is not yet established. There is no earth going around the sun. There is no rotation of the earth in day one. There's just separation of light and dark. So it could mean period of time. I agree. Unless we read the rest of this passage as one unit. That is, the creation week all uses the same words and same definition. So let's take a look at the next day. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of water. And he separated the waters from waters. And God said, he made the expanse, and separated the waters under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. I believe that a proper interpretation that evening and morning has to mean the exact same thing in verse 8 that it also means in verse 5. In other words, the author didn't change definitions on you. Evening and morning, the first day, is the exact same period of time, whatever period of time that is, as day 2, evening and morning, the second day. The reason why I think that is because it would be absolutely confusing for someone to change definitions and understanding it mid-passage. Think about this. If you're reading a book and it says a woman was walking down the road, and then it says a man was walking down the road, walking means walking in both contexts. If I was to change walking to mean run, I have to change words for you to understand it, or else you wouldn't understand what I was writing. What we find oftentimes in liberal scholarship is that they change the meaning of the word in the passage to mean something else. For example, in Timothy, they'll say, okay, well look, it says in Timothy that women will be saved by childbearing. And you say, well, wait a second. I thought I was saved by Jesus Christ alone. And they'll say, see, look, that's why we throw this passage out. It's such an old way of thinking. And they want to convince you that saved only means salvation. But when you look at the context of the passage, Paul is actually talking about blessings. And so the correct translation of that understanding would be that women are blessed through childbearing. But if you only study the word, you'll say, well, saved means saved. He's talking about salvation. Well, no, he's not changing ideas in the middle of a sentence or in the middle of a paragraph. The author in Genesis is not changing ideas in chapter 1. His whole idea is the same. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6 all use the exact same language. We can see it in the Bible. Take a look then at verse 13. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Verse 19. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. The gap theorist says each one of these periods of time is very different. That one could be billions of years, another one could be a 24-hour period of time. And I say, hey, that's actually really bad exegesis or bad reading. You can't change definitions in the same sentence structure, in the same passage, and actually argue from that. Nobody does that. If I say, see spot run, you say, okay, spot is the dog. And then I say, see spot leap, and I say, I'm actually talking about the cat now. Spot the dog and spot the cat. And you say, well, the whole book had a picture of a dog. And you're like, well, I thought you would just understand it. Because I was talking about a dog, now I'm talking about a cat. Well, you've got to give me some clue that there was a change, and a good reason to offer me that change. At least have the artist illustrate a cat on the page if you want me to think cat instead of dog. Here, the author does not change anything. He keeps his wording the same. So in my mind, day has to mean on day 7 and 6. And 5, what it meant on 1, 2, 3, 4. So you cannot tell me that a day was established in day 7, which it was. It's in fact very important that day 7 is a day because we're establishing the Sabbath day. And that it actually meant billions of years on day 1. Day 1, billions of years. Day 7, 24-hour period of time. But the wording is the same. That would be very, very confusing and actually very bad writing. No author does that. And so I find it to be bad reading of the scripture when we look at the grammar and say, okay, here is what the grammar means on day 6. He's clearly talking about a 24-hour period of time because the day is already established. But in day one, he's not. He uses the same language. Second, the reason I believe this is a 24-7 period of time is the fact that the whole purpose of establishing this was to establish the work week. Yes, mankind is the climax of all that was created. But he wasn't the conclusion of all that was created. Take a look at chapter 2. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, the whole host of them. And on the seventh yom, God finished his work and that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Now, is the Sabbath day a Sabbath period of time, billions of years? Or is the Sabbath day actually what it means in the rest of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy? Saturday, the seventh day of the week. The purpose of the creation story, as it's set up in Genesis 1, is to give you a work week. 6 days you labor, one day you rest. The entire commandment, you know, the Ten Commandments, where it says there will be a holy day and you are to obey and follow it, is based on this text. So the fact that God blessed a day in which we're to gather together and reflect on him and do no work is based on this passage. So I can't play games in day one in order to make evolution fit into it, and then not play any games on day seven and say he only meant a day there. Yom has to mean the same thing in this chapter and in this passage, in this creation week, that it means in the entire thing. Yom has to mean the same thing every time the author uses it, or else nobody knows what he's talking about. We don't change definitions in books without telling anyone we've changed the definition. Spot is a dog. I'm not also talking about a cat or a fish. See, spot run refers only to the fact that we're talking about the dog in the entire book. If I give no context clues that now we're talking about a cat, none of you are going to think I'm talking about a cat. Same thing here. So, the next thing that I would say tells us for certain that we're talking about Yom as a day. People will say, well, this is from God's perspective, not man's perspective. So God can have whatever time period he wants. Okay, that's a fine argument. After all, time isn't the same to God as it is to us. But let's look at the day in which he made birds. Specifically, let's take a look at verse 20 and going on that day. This is the fifth day of creation. God said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds, where are they flying? Are they flying below or above? So where is the author looking to figure this out? Is he looking from God's perspective or from man's perspective? From God's perspective, the birds could be flying anywhere. It's only from someone who's down here looking up at birds flying who thinks the birds are flying above them. If you were out in the universe, the birds are flying below you. If you were somewhere else equal with the birds, they could be flying on the same plane as you. But here, in the context of day five, we get a human's perspective of where birds fly. Fish are below, birds are above. So this week, even though God is doing it, is written from the perspective of someone standing on earth. Meaning that if I want to have that person standing on earth understand time, and I use the word day, I have to have the same meaning as someone standing on earth and means day, a 24-hour period of time. The fact that that wasn't established in day one does not bother me, because God can have evening and morning move at his will. And the same meaning on day six is the same meaning on day one. And I understand from day five that we're actually talking about being here on this earth, looking at creation from man's perspective, but the fact that God is doing it. That all tells me we're looking at a 24-hour period of time. So yes, a word study on Yom could lead us to something different than the 24 period of time, but a study of this passage as a whole cannot lead us to that understanding. And I've had many scholars and read many scholars who say, yes, the passage as a whole speaks to a 24-hour period, but that's not how you should translate it. And I go, huh. So you just really don't want that 24-hour day, do you? And so if we're honest with this passage, I think that's where we land. If we want to be dishonest with the passage and make it say what we want it to say, we can make it say what we want it to say. But for me, the grammatical understanding of the passage as a whole leads us to a 24-hour period of time. Any questions on that? That may be a little bit more intense on understanding Yom than you were expecting. Yes, sir. What's that? Right. 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 I believe so. Okay. I would say that from someone's perspective, if you were standing above the earth, you could say, well, they were flying below me and yet still above the land. But here we're standing on the ground and we're saying they're flying above the earth, above the land. And so I think from my perspective of understanding where is the perspective of this coming from, it's coming from someone who's down looking up. However, you are correct. You could just say, okay, well, you could have explained this any way that you want. And the only place birds can fly is above land. And so I think that's a fine idea. That's why it's kind of my third point in understanding this passage. And it is my third example on it. So I don't have a problem, again, explaining that one away. And you say, well, that explanation doesn't make sense to me. However, there are other ideas on here that tell us we're looking from a man's perspective on it. And so if you read it, I do think you'll see that the way that things are ordered and oriented is from the position of a person standing on the earth. However, you can disagree with me, and I have no problem with it. Sir? Sure.